Amen. And I want to bring a familiar passage of Scripture tonight. And honestly, sometimes it's kind of difficult just throughout the week if we know we're going to be preaching, just to exactly try to find the mind of the Lord for some of these Wednesday night services. And you preachers and pastors, men that have been ministry quite some time, understand how that is. And sometimes we don't want to be repetitious. We don't want to deal with texts that people know and they've heard all the time. But I think this would be a good help to us tonight. Amen. I want us to go to Psalms 133. And this, of course, is a psalm of David. Here in the Word of God, Psalms 133, familiar passage of Scripture. And many of us can probably quote verse number 1, but rather than just quoting it and having something to memorize, it'd be a great principle for us to live by as far as our brethren are concerned, those that we, especially those of the household of faith, other Christians, and those that we worship with tonight. And we want to talk a little bit about the subject of unity tonight among believers. Amen. Psalms 133. Let's look together, if we will, in verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Father, you know, Lord, where we stand this evening. Lord, we stand in need of your touch and your help. God, we're frail, and we're fallen tonight, Lord, and you know these things. And Lord, I'm asking you, God, for your help and for your touch. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, may there always be a kindred spirit, Lord, in this place. May there always be the sense and the scope of togetherness, Lord, as we gather together to worship, to work for you, to labor, to love one another, and Lord, to endeavor to reach a lost and dying world for your honor and your glory. And Lord, we know that you're pleased with unity. You're pleased with a church that loves one another and that walks in truth. And I pray, Lord, that that would always be the testimony, Lord, of Bible Baptist Church, Lord, for years to come. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd help us with these principles and these verses tonight. Lord, we ask you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Psalms 133 tonight is, of course, a psalm of David. If your Bible has the headings there in your copy of the Word of God, it says that it is a song of degrees of David tonight. And David opens up in this psalm and he says, "Behold tonight." Amen. There is something that is needed tonight. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He cuts right to the chase, seemingly in verse number 1. And we want to discuss this idea of unity tonight according to the Word of God. There are a lot of people that they talk about unity and they speak about unity. But can I say this tonight? That unity ought to never be something that is desired at the expense of the truth. Amen. At the expense of the right doctrine. At the expense of the right position. And sadly, men who have had platforms and God has given them great opportunities, sadly, they have sacrificed the truth and they have sacrificed to stand for the sake of so-called unity tonight. And so may I say this, that within the church tonight, unity is needed. It is a very needful thing. A church that is to run like a well-oiled machine tonight and accomplish the task that God has for her tonight. Unity is needed in order to do that tonight. Amen. And we don't want to talk about the negatives tonight. We don't want to highlight those things tonight. But listen, the church was never intended to have schisms and splits and backbiting and the pastor pulling in one direction and the people pulling in another and cliques and camps and groups. Listen, all of those things deter unity within a congregation tonight. And so unity is needed. But then sadly, in some cases in our society and even throughout church history, we can see that unity is neglected tonight. Understand that no man lives and dies to himself. No man is an island to himself. And you and I are not so spiritual tonight that we can just drive and push everybody out of our life. We live in such an isolated society. We don't want anybody coming and knocking on our door. We don't want anybody getting all up in our business. We just want to be left alone. And that seems to be the American way now. But understand that God has given us a body of believers that we can draw strength from. And you need those that are sitting beside you. You need a church tonight. You need a pastor. You need other believers tonight. And may we never make the mistake of neglecting the unity that ought to be found within the house of God. We see that unity is needed. Unity is neglected. But emphatically, we want to say this, that unity is necessary tonight. Amen. To be what God would have us to be as a church tonight, unity is necessary. Now, a marriage will not work if a husband and wife are divided and they're bickering all the time and they're not on the same page. And so it would go with the church tonight. Amen. We ought to be in one mind, in one accord, and to endeavor after the unity of the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus there. But I notice in these opening verses of this little psalm, notice the Bible, he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I see David's declaration of unity. He says, "Behold," this is like the voice of a herald. David is wanting to get the attention of those that he is writing this song to, and understand that as he begins to talk about unity, he wants to make sure that he has their attention. That's how important it is tonight. And so David declares how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We see the declaration of unity, and then there is the delight of unity. He goes on ahead in verse number 1 and says this, that unity is good and it is pleasant when brethren are dwelling together in unity. So we see the declaration of unity, the delight of unity, and then the design of unity. What is the design of unity? That brethren would dwell together. Understand that those of us that are saved, we are going to spend a very, very long time together in eternity. Amen. Thank God. Listen, there will be no disunion in heaven. There will be no separation anymore in heaven. And thank God we will be together in unity with one mind and one goal, and that is to bask in the glory of God and worship the eternal King, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever and ever. And it has been said tonight that the church is kind of a training session, or it's a good picture of what's going to take place in eternity tonight. Amen. Individuals, brethren, a family unit gathered together worshiping God tonight. Amen. In order to understand what David is trying to drive home tonight about unity, there are some things that we must examine. And first of all tonight, number one, David paints a picture for us tonight. If you're taking notes, number one, we see the picture of unity in verse number 2. And he paints this picture using a person and using an individual out off of the pages of Bible history tonight. He said in verse number 2, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." David is painting this picture, and he wants us to see this act of anointing Aaron there as the high priest. That oil was used to anoint prophets and priests and kings tonight, and he paints us this picture of this anointing of Aaron tonight. He says in the opening part of verse number 2, "It," what is it? "Unity is like the precious ointment upon the head." Now, you don't have to turn there tonight, but Exodus chapter number 30 gives us the recipe for this anointing oil that God intended for these individuals to use when someone was being anointed tonight. There were 5 ingredients ingredients that this ointment contained. Make no mistake about it. You study biblical numerology. 5 is the number of grace. And thank God. Listen, sometimes it takes the grace of God. Or let me back up and say this. All the time, it takes the grace of God for some people to be able to get along and to have one drive in mind to march towards Zion together to glorify God and to complete one goal in mind tonight. Amen. And so David paints this picture of the anointing of Aaron as the high priest. Those 5 ingredients tonight are this. First, we find myrrh tonight. Amen. Myrrh is fragrant. It's used for medicine and for perfume tonight. Myrrh was one of the substances used when they would anoint a body for burial. No doubt the Lord Jesus Christ and His body was anointed with a substance called myrrh. It was a very fragrant substance used in the field of medicine, used for daily perfume. It was derived from a tree tonight. And so we find myrrh, and then we have cassia. Cassia has a very, very pungent, very strong odor. It can kind of be off-putting if you get too much of it at one time. Cinnamon is known for its aromatic properties, both sweet and savory. We're all familiar with cinnamon. It's kind of common tonight. And then we have calamus. Calamus is kind of closer to cinnamon a little bit, but it's both aromatic and it also has stimulating properties. Now, here's the picture that David is painting for us tonight. Just as that anointing oil has all of these different ingredients, all of these different things, they stand alone tonight and they have their own qualities. They were brought together and there was one thing that brought them together, and that was the olive oil tonight. Amen. That is a picture of the Spirit of God. And so we have myrrh, and we have cassia, and we have cinnamon, and we have calamus tonight. Myrrh is very fragrant. We can kind of think of those happy, bubbly, and jovial people to be around tonight. Cassia is very pungent. Some people have strong opinions tonight, and you gotta kind of have to take their personality in small doses tonight. Don't look at anybody tonight. Amen. That cinnamon is kind of common. It's known for its aromatic properties. It's both sweet and it's savory tonight. It's a well-rounded personality. And then we have calamus. It's aromatic and it is stimulating. We could say it like this, that calamus is very encouraging tonight. It kind of prods us along and gives us the extra strength and the extra boost that we need. Thank God for those people tonight that are encouragers. Hallelujah. They help us to go on the extra mile. Amen. Tonight, all of these different personalities, all of us come from different walks of life. All of us may have different opinions at times, but there's one common denominator in the house of God tonight, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into the body. We've been filled with the Spirit, and like it or lump it tonight, hey, we're all in this thing together because of one common object and one common individual, and that is Christ tonight. Amen. He paints this picture for us and talks about unity. All of these different ingredients, though they may be different, though they may have their different qualities tonight, they're all brought together by one common thing for one common goal. This evening, we see the picture of unity. Secondly, I want to hurry tonight. We not only see the picture of unity, but then we find the person of unity. Look with me in the Word of God here again. The Bible said it is like the precious ointment upon the head in verse number 2 that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. He gets specific. He's talking about one individual tonight that went down to the skirts of his garments tonight. Amen. David paints this picture. But we have a problem tonight. David wasn't even alive when Aaron was around. You and I are not alive when Aaron was around. We missed that boat. We missed that part of history. We have the Word of God and have the Old Testament. These things are written for our admonition and our encouragement tonight. But I like this, and you know where I'm going tonight. Oftentimes when we find an individual specific specifically in the Psalms, we are to look beyond that individual. Amen. We are to look not to Aaron, the earthly high priest, but we are to look beyond Aaron to our great heavenly high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. We think about that person of unity. Amen. Who is it that can bring all of us together tonight? Who is it that can take different personalities and people from different walks of life tonight and bring us together for the common goal of the glory of God? Nobody else could do that but Jesus tonight. Amen. Nobody else could do that but Christ. And so while we see the picture of unity, I want you to consider for just a moment tonight the person of unity. Notice what he says there again in the Word of God, verse number 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head. The head is mentioned first, and when thinking about Christ, we think about Jesus Christ and His majesty tonight. Amen. That oil was poured out, and it began at the head. Hallelujah. Hey, can I remind you tonight, in order for you and I to have unity, we've got to keep in mind that there is one head. Amen. There is one person that's driving this train tonight. There is one individual who this is all about. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the deacons. Amen. We say that respectfully. It's not about the Sunday school teachers. It's not about one specific family. It's not about where you came from and who you are. Hey, it's all about Jesus Christ tonight, and we ought to keep the main thing the main thing. And the reason that God blesses this place, I believe, is because Christ is given the preeminence. Amen. It's not about what family has money or who gives this much or who's been here this long or politicking this way and politicking that way. Thank God, Bible Baptist Church, may God deliver us from it ever being about us. And may all God always help us to endeavor to keep everything about Christ, from the pulpit to the pew, to the songs, to the praying, to the testifying, everything that we do. Let it all be said that it's all about Christ tonight. Amen. We see the majesty of Christ. And boy, I want to labor there, but we don't have time tonight. He is worthy of our praise. Boy, we ought to never get quiet on God. You say, you going there again? I'm going there again tonight. Amen. We ought to never get quiet tonight. Hey, David said in another place in Psalm chapter number 34, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. You say, what was David doing? David was encouraging the congregation and those whom he ruled over and those who followed him to point. He pointed their attention to the God of glory tonight, and He encouraged them to worship tonight. Amen. We ought to give Christ the glory because of His majesty tonight. But then tonight we think about not only His majesty, but I think about the masculinity of Christ. Notice what the Bible said, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. That oil ran down upon the beard. We think about the masculinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the Apostle Paul tells us tonight that there is one man. Amen. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God tonight. Listen, our Savior, when He walked this world, He was not some soft, effeminate figure that history has painted Him up to be. Amen. Listen, He was a man who could come to the shoreline and come to the docks and come to those fishermen and say, follow me. And without hesitation, they did it tonight. Amen. Listen, He was one who knew what it was to work with His hands in His earthly father's carpenter shop. Listen, Jesus is and He was a man in every sense of the word. If He was some soft sissy tonight, Peter, James, and John would have laughed Him off the docks. Oh, but thank God He's a man tonight. Amen. Thank God there is a man tonight that stands on our behalf in heaven. There is a man who is flesh and blood. He has a glorified body. He is our representative tonight. Thank God He's a man tonight. Hallelujah. We need a revival of manhood in this day and hour. Jesus being our example, hallelujah, not some long-haired sissy who was quiet and meek and afraid to say what he needed to say. Listen, Jesus was the preacher of all preachers tonight, and he called those Pharisees, he called them vipers tonight, and he called them hypocrites. And thank God, would we have a revival tonight of old-fashioned lever lung, salt back on like a soul log. I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Amen. We're so scared to say everything. We're so scared to talk about the queers and the transgenders and all of that kind of stuff. We're scared to talk about spanking our children and Bible discipline tonight. Boy, they've got us scared to death. We're chewing our fingernails. We can't discipline our kids in public no more because we think somebody's going to call child services on us tonight. Hey, listen, that's fine however you do that, however you choose to run your home. That's between you and God. But just rest assured that your children need a man, sir. Your wife needs a man tonight. Amen. Be the man that God has called you to be. Everybody all right tonight? We need some men tonight in our society. We are 10 years away from having more sissies than we've ever had. You watch the generations every 10 years. Amen. My grandpa's one was a preacher, one wasn't. And the one who wasn't, he smoked cigarettes and he drank beer, and I'm against every bit of that stuff. But one thing I knew, he was a man tonight. Amen. He had enough sense not to be effeminate. Amen. We need a revival of manhood tonight. I'm just saying Jesus is, and he was a man tonight. He was tough. He was masculine. Our Savior's not a sissy tonight. Amen. Be a man. Amen. We see the majesty of Christ, the masculinity of Christ. We think about the ministry of Christ. The Bible said the precious ointment was upon the head. It ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Now watch this. It went down to the skirts of his garments. What kind of garments was Aaron wearing? He was wearing the garments of the high priest tonight. Amen. We think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he came and to give sight to the blind and cause the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and those that were sick and afflicted, he healed them. But listen, that was not the express purpose of why he came tonight. Amen. He came for a cross. Hallelujah. He came to bear the sin debt of the world, and he died and was buried and he rose again. And thank God he is seated forevermore at the right hand of majesty on high, until the Father tells him to come and get his bride tonight. Listen, thank God for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a Calvary ministry, didn't he? Set his face toward the cross. He has a continued ministry as he is there acting as our high priest. He is our advocate with the Father tonight. But I'm glad tonight that's not all there is. That's not the end of the story. Thank God he had a Calvary ministry. He has a continuing ministry, but he's got a coming ministry. Amen. Thank God. Listen, he's not coming as a shepherd this time. He's not coming meek and lowly, but he's coming to rule with a rod of iron as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to make right every wrong tonight. He's going to set everything in order. The curse will be lifted off of this world. That sin will be judged and dealt with. And thank God he'll rule and reign forever and ever and ever from the throne of David tonight. Think about the ministry, the masculinity, the majesty of Christ. Think about the mercy of Christ. Notice where this oil flowed to. Bible said that it went down to the skirts of his garments. It went all the way down to the bottom. You know why we're here tonight? Because one day God reached further down than what we could reach up. God found us on the bottom tonight. You say, well, I was in pretty good shape when he found me. Listen, I'm telling you, you were just as messed up as a drunkard. You were just as messed up as the harlot tonight. Amen. You were just as messed up as the down and out in society tonight. Listen, we were going to the same hell, and we needed the mercy of God. Thank God Paul declares to us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while you were a drunkard, while you were a liar, while you were a thief, while you were an adulterer, while you were a murderer in your heart, while you were an enemy of God, Christ loved you and he drew you in cords of love and brought you to himself and put you in his body and allowed you to live and walk in unity with his church tonight. We see the picture of unity, the person of unity. But then, lastly, I want to give you this, and I'm done, the purpose of unity. Look in verse number 3. The Bible says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Notice where the dew falls. He uses the picture of the oil. He uses the picture of Aaron, and now he uses the picture of the dew falling upon these mountains tonight. Bible tells us that the dew fell upon Hermon, that is the northern kingdom tonight. And then the dew fell upon Zion, that is the southern kingdom tonight. Amen. The dew that fell on that northern kingdom was the same dew that fell on that southern kingdom. And you say, what is the point tonight? But listen, I'm telling you, there is coming a day and an hour where there won't be a northern kingdom. There won't be a southern kingdom. There won't be any scattered tribes. Listen, we won't have to worry about Hamas or Palestine. By the way, there's no such thing tonight. There never has been such a country as Palestine. That is made up tonight. It was invented by the Romans. That's just a little bit of history tonight. But I'm telling you, King Jesus is coming, and he's going to give the Jew their land, and he's setting up shop, and he's setting up a kingdom, and thank God the bride of Christ will be there with him, and thank God everybody will be in Christ together who's saved. Amen. Jew and Gentile together in one body. One kingdom tonight. Amen. Notice that this dew is falling upon these mountains. Whenever we think about dew, the first thing that we think about tonight is refreshment. That dew falls in the early hours of the morning and you walk out upon that grass and boy, everything looks clean. Everything is refreshed. Every maybe debris from the day before. Listen, there is a refreshment that comes with dew. And then, of course, there is a renewal, the freshness. His mercies are new every morning. And then I think about revival tonight. Dew, you know when the dew falls? When everything is calm. Doesn't come when the wind's blowing. Doesn't come when there's a storm. Doesn't come when different things are going on. But the dew comes when all is calm. And when a church is walking together, in step with Christ, unified together, with one goal and one purpose in mind. Boy, I'm telling you, there's no telling what God could do. If we would just get our heart right tonight, and I don't have any clue. We hadn't even been here for a little bit. And I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know what issue. There might not even be anything. But understand that it is not God's will. Maybe there's a husband and wife. You've been having some issues at odds with one another. That's not God's will tonight. Get that right by the mercy of Christ, by the grace of God tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got some issue, some schism, some problem with something that's been going on here. Maybe something you don't agree with, or you've got something in your crawl about something and it is robbing you of your joy tonight. Would you get that right tonight? Would you fall upon the grace of God? Would you beckon God for his mercy tonight? May God prevent it from us ever losing what we have tonight. May Bible Baptist Church always be a place where Christ is magnified, God is glorified, the saints are edified tonight, but may it be a place of unity tonight. Amen. A place where there's freedom to worship. A place where sinners can come and be saved.